Blog Talk Radio.
Of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath to everyone. I hope that you've gotten the prescribed rest last night, that you are ready to eat in the Word of Yah on this morning. We are continuing in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, and we will be in starting in Exodus chapter 23, verse 18 this morning. I pray that you are all doing well. I pray that the scriptures have been medicating your soul, have been either convicting you or securing you or both. in what Yah is saying in his covenant. We have to know that we are his people and that we need to be in obedience to him and obey his voice. So I pray that we are all on one accord in that regard. Let us do our statement of faith. Well, let me greet everybody in Pal Talk Land and Blog Talk Land, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only name whereby men must be saved. Whether you be in Pal Talk, Blog Talk, on the internet in general, listening online, driving in your car, we pray that you be blessed today. On 5 September, the new moon and the Feast of Trumpets, the 5 September that evening, on the 20th of September through the 27th or the 28th is the Feast of Tabernacles. And then we have the Day of Atonement, which I believe is the 15th of the month. Hold on, let me check that real quick. Give me 1 second here. Yes, the 15th. So the 15th in the evening through the 16th in the evening is the Day of Atonement. We want to be mindful of these feast days. All right. Let us go ahead and start with our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies uncover their head. Men's uncover your head. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe I am of a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah to you this morning. Hallelujah. 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000 praise to you, O Yah. We glorify you, Father. We lift you up. We magnify your name. Hallelujah, Father. We come before you to worship you this morning, Father, and to eat from your word, Father, that we might be filled. We give you honor, Father. We honor you. We bow down before you. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let me have the ladies to cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent of our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. Father, we ask that you would bless the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We ask that you would bless Israel that is awake, that we would have a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go forth in the kingdom today, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. I have added to our scriptural reading for the coming up month that we might have these verses always before us. As usual, we're going to be reading from 1 Kings and from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, but I've also added Exodus chapter 19 verses 5 and 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 11 verses 26 through 28 to our reading. So we will be mindful to do those because we want to keep this always before us. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spake by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yahweh Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, but turn aside of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, let us summon in the presence of the Most High on his Shabbat with the blowing of the shofar.
I'ma change my life, I'ma do things right, yeah. Yeah.
Amen, 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 amen. The book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 through 6, and Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28 again. Let us always keep this before us for the simple reason that if we keep this before us always, if you write them, put it on your wall, this will remind you daily. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yahweh Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. The book of Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 7. I earnestly protest unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Over and over and over in the scriptures, you will find this, that the Most High simply wants us to obey his voice. We are in Exodus chapter 23. We have gone through 85 laws so far, 85 laws that are part of the covenant. The book of Exodus, chapter 23 and verse 18. This is where we stopped at yesterday. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. Now, there is also a spiritual aspect to this, because when we go before the Most High, and we're talking about being that living sacrifice, then if we are sinning, we can't offer ourselves to the Most High, because we are not fit as a sacrifice. He says, don't offer my sacrifice with leaven. And most of the time in the scriptures, leaven represents sin. Leavening represents sin. Not always, but most of the time, 99% of the time. You got to understand that leavening is a change agent. It is something that causes something to change or to become activated. So we know that if we just mix water and flour together, we'll get some dough, but it'll be flat. We need some yeast or some baking powder to throw in that to activate the dough to make it rise. That's why the Most High uses leavening, that word leavening, because it causes the bread to rise. It causes a change in the bread. Sin causes a change in us. And so when we are, when we come into the New Testament, we find out that, hey, we are those living sacrifices today. We don't make animal sacrifice. We are the sacrifice. And we're supposed to offer ourselves a living sacrifice acceptable and holy to the Most High. Then we can't be full of sin. We can't be willfully sinning. And so that applies as well. Now it says, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The Most High, the fat of the sacrifice is a sweet smell unto the Most High. And he tells us not to even eat the fat. So he wants it burnt on his altar. And it can't be left until the morning. Verse 19. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of Yah thy Elohim. Thou shalt not seed a kid in his mother's milk. All right, the first of the first fruits. When our forefathers were farmers and sheep herders, you know, there's a harvest time, there's a lambing time, there is the time in nature. So usually all animals that are grazers that eat grass and that kind of stuff, they have their babies when? In the spring, when the grass is becoming full and plenteous, okay? But also, when we farm, typically there are some plants that also ripen during that time, like the barley, the wheat a little bit later, corn, and then we have in the middle of the summer, you know, those plants and vegetables that are harvested during that time, and then we have those that are harvested right before, right at the end of fall. So those are, the first fruits would be those that are in the spring. But then out of every harvest, we're supposed to bring the first fruits of it to the Most High. Now, we can equate that also, since we don't farm. You know, I don't know any of us that has a farm right now, looking to try to find one for sure. Yah says, you know, unless Yah says differently, but looking to try to find one. Or some land that's secluded. But even in our daily lives, with our jobs, the Most High blesses you to work. And the fruit of your labor is your income. We don't grow, you know, we don't grow fruits and vegetables or cows and sheep and that kind of stuff. And so it has changed for us. We're no longer agrarian as a people, especially in captivity. While we're scattered, most of us, you know, work for somebody. And our fruits, the fruits of our labor is our income. We still need to bring that to the Most High. We still need to honor this, as I said, the spirit of it, in our tithes and in our offerings. Okay? Thou shalt not seethe, boil a kid in his mother's milk. A kid is a baby sheep or a goat. And the Most High said, you know, that they will use this law right here, this particular law, to say that you shouldn't mix dairy and meat together. But then when I'm looking at when the Most High and two angels came down to visit Abraham, he boiled them. You know, he made milk and butter, killed a lamb, a kid, and boiled it and mixed dairy with meat. Now, I believe this is saying exactly what it means. You should not boil a kid, that offspring of that animal, in its own mother's milk. That's kind of wicked when you think about it. And these animals, whether we want to acknowledge or not, they are aware and they do have feelings. Okay? And if any of you have pets, you know this to be true. It's also true, you know, true of livestock and everything else. You know, people have pets. Sometimes people go to call themselves farming and they become friends with their food. And when it comes time to slaughter it, they can't do it because they've given it a name. You know, they understand that it has moods and feelings and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, the Most High, even when we look in some of the scriptures, and I have to look this up because it just came to my mind. There's a time when, we'll read it probably here shortly if we haven't already passed it. But if you were to slaughter an animal for sacrifice, away from the altar, and you didn't bring it to the altar, you didn't bring it to the front door of the altar, the Most High said it wasn't acceptable. So you had to bring it to the altar, and if you killed it, he said the blood is on your hands of that animal. Now we'll find out that there's times when the Most High considers the blood of an animal equal to the blood of a human. And so he's going to be like, I'll find the scripture. He says it's going to be if you kill, I don't know if he said an ox or a dog. I have to look it up. But it's going to be as though you killed a man. And so he takes these things very seriously. The animals have feelings. They have thoughts. They you know, they're acting off of instinct most of the time, but they're aware. So this mother cow or ox or sheep knows that they had a baby. And then you come and take the baby and then you slaughter it. They're aware. So I would just follow the scripture strictly. You know, if we got into farming or whatever, don't cook that particular calf in its own mother's milk. Because it's something, even in my mind, there's something wicked with that. So we want to make sure that we don't do that. Let's drop down to verse, well, we'll just read through it because it's only a couple of verses. Behold, I send my angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. So there's an angel going before the children of Israel. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. You know, the Most High said, these are the things that I don't want you to do. These are the things that I want you to do. Obey my voice, and I got an angel going before you, but he's watching over you. And he's got judgment, this angel. Now, this could very well be, and I have to read, so this is a speculation on my part, okay? Don't take this as the gospel, I'm telling you that. This could very well be Moses himself, okay? For my name is in him. So the Most High didn't talk about pardoning transgression of his statutes, laws, and commandments. He says, this angel that's going before you, whether this is Moses or a spiritual angel, he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. My authority. My name is my authority. With my name comes my authority. That's why I said when we understand who we are, when we understand who we are as a people, when we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the name of the Most High is in us, and his authority is in us. That's why he says that we have whatever you bind in heaven is bound in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is bound on earth. That's why he says when you understand who you are, you have the authority to forgive sin. Or not to forgive it. You can tell somebody your sins be retained to you. If they are wicked like that, but see, we got to understand who we are. We got to understand where our authority comes from. When the Most High makes us his children, that comes with power and authority. Even as a child, and as you mature, then you should be able to make righteous judgments. We don't want to be trying to make righteous judgments and we ain't 2 days out of saved and, 2 days out of sin. We need to have lived this thing a minute and walked in it. Because we are all tempted one way or another at some point. But you should also be what? Maturing. And to understand that, yeah, we have power. This is what Messiah was telling us. Go to Jerusalem and wait, and you shall receive what? Power. When? After the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you. Because then you have the Spirit of the Most High within you, and you have His name within you. And we have authority. So he says, hey, so whosoever sins you say are remitted, they are remitted. And whosoever sins you say are retained, they are retained. Got to know who you are. And see, a lot of us are afraid to walk in that type of authority. A lot of us, the probably guilt would keep us from walking in that authority. But when you know who you are, just like I showed us when we went to Revelation chapter 2, and I showed you that you can't rule differently than Messiah. He says, hey, I'm ruling with a rod of iron. You can't rule differently. And so when it comes to judgment on the earth and when people are in transgression, if they will not repent, if they will not hear your voice, he says even to withdraw the gospel from them. Take the dust off your feet. They won't hear. That's hard for a lot of people. But I'm just telling you, you cannot have your own standard. You cannot have your own righteousness. That's why when the Most High says, and even through Messiah, he says, do these things. We read them, but then, you know, it's like I think we almost get offended. But you got to understand that once you are selected and once you are on the job, you got to do the job, and you got to do it like he says to do it. We'll get into that more so when we get into the New Testament, because there's things in there that I haven't found any churches that are implementing what the Most High said to do. And we want to obey his voice. So we can't just, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. You're not comfortable being a child of the Most High then. And, you know, this salvation is so precious. This gift is so precious that you got to understand how precious it is and how you can't just let people walk on it, walk over it. Can't let them spit on it, treat it as nothing. So we want to know what the Most High expects. This is the way I judge. So beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. Told him up front, whoever this angel or Moses, when you offend, when you transgress, there's no pardon coming. And see, we want the Most High to be this all-forgiving, all-merciful Elohim all the time. And it's not that way. Verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. See, when we are walking with the Most High and we are obeying his voice, he says, I will be your adversary. I don't think I said that right. He won't be your adversary. I used that word wrong. So scratch that. That was a misspeak on my part. He will advocate for you. He will not be your adversary. He will be the adversary to your adversaries. I mean, he'll be the enemies of your enemy. He will look out for you. He'll look out for us. That's why he says, don't fear. If we know that we're walking upright before the Most High, there's nothing we should fear but him and our parents. But there's nothing in this world other than them that we should fear. He says, because I will be the adversary of your adversaries. They will be dealing with me. Verse 23. For my angels shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites, unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their Elohim, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Now, this is what our forefathers were supposed to do going into the promised land. And this is what Messiah is going to do on a global scale when he comes back. See, that's why that day and that time period when he comes back is not going to be a time period that we should look forward to with all the false worship in the world, with all the false Elohims, with all the false religions. Messiah's going to come in and break down all their images. He's going to burn up their works, and he alone shall be worshipped in the world. Everybody that's found worshipping false Elohims will be killed. Don't matter how good they thought they were. Don't matter if, you know, they say, oh, I was doing this out of ignorance. You're going to say, no, because you heard, but you chose to stay. You heard of Christianity or you heard of Judaism, and you knew that what you were worshiping, it never really had an effect in your life, but only in your mind where you thought, you know, you gave it credit for something that never happened. So he's going to be coming back, and he's going to be tearing up some stuff. That's why I say when you read this book and you read about Joshua and what Joshua and the nation of Israel was supposed to do, they're supposed to do exactly this. Go into those lands. The Most High was going to give it to them. Now clean out all this false worship. Tear down all their altars. Cut down all their little forest that they raised to these gods to worship them. Clean up the land. That's what Israel's job was supposed to be. Now, we are in a land of captivity. And until Messiah comes back, in this regard, we're almost powerless. We start going in and tearing up people's churches and stuff. Without the help of the Most High, without his protection, we'd probably be done away real quick. We have to do this as a nation. He's going to come and do it. And, you know, you should be putting all those religions on notice. You know that when Judgment Day comes, the Most High is going to tear down all this. Because you're not worshiping the true and living Elohim. If you're worshiping Buddha, if you're worshiping Krishna, if you're worshiping Allah, if you're worshiping any other Elohim other than the Most High, Messiah is going to burn it to the ground. And they got to know that. But you have to know that also. He's not coming back and saying, oh, all these other religions can stay in the world. No, it tells you that the day is coming where his name shall be one and he alone shall be worshipped in the whole world. So we got to understand that when he's telling Israel in verse 24, you know, even to go into the land of Israel now and to see false gods and false worship. And if you are a Hebrew Israelite and you're going in there, you have to know that your job was to what? Clean up the Holy Land. How are you going to go live over there and it's all this false religion? And then say, oh, I'm following my Elohim. That doesn't go with the scriptures. Okay. So false worship, idol worship, worshiping anything other than the Most High will not be permitted And we surely can't be trying to bring something up in the body and worship it and knowing that it's not the Most High. Not because, see, this is what the Levitical priesthood is guilty of doing. So let me ask you to consider something. I want you to put yourself in this mindset. You are a priest of a Elohim. I'm not going to even say the Most High right now. You are a priest of some Elohim. And you're the priest of that Elohim. You're the representative of that Elohim. Okay? And then you're going to go and bring and worship another Elohim, different from the one you're the priest for, in his house or her house, whatever that is. That's kind of unheard of from the nation. They don't do that, but Israel did that. Israel, the priest of the Most High, brought other Elohims into the house of their Elohim and worshiped them. You don't do that, okay? So this is what the problem with the Levitical priesthood was. You know, you have this fine temple that Solomon and David had built, and then you're going to worship other Elohims in his house? No, that's just, you know, that is just pure wickedness. You won't hear of, you know, a priest from another nation, a priest of another Elohim, another God that they've made up, do that. Anyway, understand that when Messiah returns, our job in the beginning was to go and tear down and root out all of this false religion in the Promised Land. Clean up my land. Run all this stuff out. I'm going to deliver them into your hands, and you break down their altars. You break up their images of their Elohims. You overthrow them. Now, we are living in lands where this land right here, the United States of America, the land of liberty. You are free to worship whatever you want to worship in this land. But truthfully speaking, the children of the Most High shouldn't be putting up with that. If you go into a Muslim land, trust me, you ain't worshiping nobody but Allah. You go into a Christian land and everything goes. So we got to understand there's going to come a time. There's going to come a time when Messiah returns that all of this false religion, all of it, is going to be put down. This is what he's telling us in verse 24. Going into the Promised Land, thou shalt not bow down to their Elohims, nor serve them, nor do after their works. We'll read somewhere else where he says, hey, don't even ask the name of their Elohim or how they worship them. Because I don't want you hearing something that they're doing to worship their God, and you come and do that to me. Thinking that it sounds good. Well, that sounds good. I'll go worship the Most High that way. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. So don't even ask them how they worship their Elohim. Don't even ask the name of their Elohim. Don't even let the name of their Elohim be in your mouth. And surely don't go learn something from them and come do it to me. Because it will not be acceptable. Okay? And verse 25, and you shall serve Yah your Elohim, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So you, when we obey him, he says, I'm not going to allow sickness to come on you. I'm going to bless your water and your bread. It's not going to make you sick. It's going to make you well. And I will take sickness from among you. There shall nothing cast their young. Now, casting means that they had the baby before time, whether it's a man, you know, a woman, or of the animals. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren. So nothing's going to cast their young or have premature labor and the baby die, or the offspring, that offspring from that, whatever's having the babies, not going to come early and die. Neither shall any of them be barren, meaning that everybody, you and the animals, are fruitful. Meaning that, you know, the women are able to get pregnant. There's no woman without a child that's married. Okay? In thy land, in the number of thy days, I will fulfill. I promise you 120 years. I'm going to give you good health. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to live that 120 years. They're going to be like Moses when 120 years come up. Moses was 120 years old. Moses said, oh, your time is 120 years. Time for you to go to sleep, Moses. He says he would do the same for us. Now, you know, long life is good, but long life is not good if you're sickly, if you're hurting and you're in pain all the time. Can't get around. And this is what the Most High is promising them. I'm going to take away the sickness from the midst of you. You're going to be, I'm going to bless your bread and your water. And I will fulfill your days. You'll be 120 years old, still strong. But you just know that, hey, the Most High gave me 120 years. He gave me my full 120. We have to wait for the resurrection when we have eternity. Now we're dying from malnutrition. I don't care how rich the country is. There's no minerals, the right minerals and things in the food that we are getting. So the diseases that we're getting is because of malnutrition. You know, you go get some lettuce. It's full of water, but there's no nutrients in the ground where they grow it at. So the plant is sucking up all the water, but there's no nutrients in the actual plant itself. So you eat it thinking that, hey, you're eating healthy, but you're not getting the nutrients that you need from the ground. And so unless you're going to farm yourself and know that you're putting, you know, the fertilizer in there, and you're putting the nitrogen, and you're putting, you know, the manure and all this stuff. Because commercially, they have the system rigged now to where they are growing for the masses, and we need to grow it fast. And we need to keep growing on the same ground. So we'll put a lot of nitrogen in the dirt, which causes the plant to suck up a lot of water, but all the other nutrients have already been sucked out of the ground. So, you know, it's been already proven that most of the diseases that we have, especially in this country, are because of malnutrition. The nutrients are not in the ground. That's why they want you to take all these vitamin supplements, but even those aren't designed to where your body will actually be able to absorb them. You know, it's something nasty, but people who clean out those porta potties, the ones that you see on the side of the road and stuff like that, they'll tell you they're full of pills, vitamins that people have taken that have just passed through their system. So, you know, you got to have certain types of things. And nutrition is one of those things that we definitely have to get back to, but you only can do that if you are farming your own land so you can put into it what you need to make it fertile, and that you can pull back out through the plant. And then, like in Most High says, in the seventh year, you just let it grow up, and then you let whoever's going to eat off of it, eat off of it, and when it's time, you plow it under, and that puts nutrients back into the ground. Let's keep going. So I'm going to bless your water and your food and your bread. I'm going to take away sickness from among you, and nothing, nobody in your land shall be barren, not the animals and not the women. Verse 27. And I will send my fear before you, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Meaning that they're running. They're not standing there fighting. You got your back to me and I'm trying to kill you. You dead. But you're running, is what he's saying. I'm chasing them out of the land. And he's going to do it with nature. I'm going to send the hornets in amongst them. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. You ain't even got to fight these people. These hornets are going to drive out 99% of them. They'll always have those ones that feel like they can hang around and they can deal with something. But then you're just going to do what the Most High tells you to do. But I guarantee you, if there was an infestation of killer bees, and I mean a real infestation, not a nest here or there, but a real infestation that there's a nest of killer bees in every house. They have just taken over. Trust me, they'll try to come and kill them, but if they can't kill them, exterminate them, because the Most High has sent so many, they'll say, hey, those houses are uninhabitable. Nature has just taken it. Now, if it's hornets, and hornets are way bigger and meaner than killer bees, you get an infestation of hornets, you're not staying there. You're not going to feel no kind of safe staying there because they're too big, they're too honoring, too mean. I mean, one can hit you in the back of the head and flip you. That's how big they are. And I'm not talking about really gigantic. Before a bug, they're big, a hornet. It's bigger than a wasp, thicker than a wasp. They make bees look like, you know, hey, y'all kind of dwarfs. And they fly fast, and they fly frontwards and backwards. So, you know, when having seen hornets and messing with them as a young boy, I know what they can do. I had one hit one of my friends. His name was Norman that lived across the street from us. Hit him in the back of the head, and he flipped. The thing hit him so hard. And I knew from that point on, you don't want to mess with them. They don't play. And so when the Most High says he's going to send his hornets before you, you got an army of hornets going out, and they are biting people. Not one time, several times. They get bit once. They're hurting over and over again. You getting up out of there. You're not going to stay. It's not livable. But the hornets keep moving on, and you just move into the house. Most I says, I got them under control. They're going where I tell them to go. So he's saying, I'm going to give you what I promised you. Okay? I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. Why? If I drive them out too fast and you're not able to occupy the land that fast, then the wild animals will take over. Lest the land become desolate with nobody on it, and the beasts of the field multiply against you. By little and little I will drive them out from before you until you be increased and inherit the land. I will set my bounds. I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines. and from the desert unto the river. I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their Elohims. They shall not dwell in thy land. So all these people in this land, they were supposed to either be driven out or what? Killed. The Most High says, I'm taking this land, I'm giving it to you. But it was already his land. When you hear about the Jebusites built Jerusalem. Who was in Jerusalem? Who was the king of Jerusalem? Melchizedek. But these people had corrupted themselves. They had gone away from true worship. So the Most High says, I'm driving them all out. And we're going to take back my land. And then I want you to hold the land and be holy in it. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their Elohims, it will surely be a snare unto thee. So, you know, we're not supposed to let people worship in our own land whatever they want to worship. We say, oh, you come here and you can worship whatever you want. No, that's against the covenant of the Most High. Can't have them in the land worshiping what they want, because then all of a sudden you're not doing it, but your children hear about it. And you got some people who are weak in the faith and they don't agree with everything, and they hear about this over here, and so they want to start worshiping that. So trust, when we are back in our own land, or when Messiah returns, and all of these false religions will be driven out of every land, because you can't worship. It's a sin to worship other Elohim. So ain't nobody in the world gonna be able to worship another Elohim. If they get caught, it's death. If somebody in when we read this, if somebody in Israel gets caught worshiping another Elohim, it was death. If they even tell you about and say, hey, come, let's go worship this other Elohim I heard about. Say, you're supposed to grab them and be the first one to throw the first stone. Because it's not supposed to be allowed. So understand that we really are in confusion amongst the nations. We're in a land having to live among, and some of us worshiping Elohims that our forefathers didn't know. But the day is coming when it will not be so any longer. And when we come into our own land, the only one that's going to be worshipped is Yah Elohim himself. And then globally, the only one that's going to be worshipped is him. So we got to understand that. You can't be tolerant. You know, we be accepting, oh, you worship what you want to worship. But that really should not be our attitude. You worshiping a false Elohim. And no, I can't be dealing with you. Why? Because then you might try to get me to try to worship your Elohim. Your Elohim, what does he do for you? What does she do for you? What does it do for you? So our mentality in this westernized world, we are very lenient with things that the Most High says he's not lenient with. Can't worship any of the Elohim, can't speak their names, can't do what they, you know, what their people do to their Elohim, can't do it to the Most High. Can't have no covenant with them. That means you can't even go into an agreement with them to do business. Oh, you worship that? Nah, I can't even do business with you. See how separated and apart we're supposed to be? Even today. Because this, I'm guaranteeing you, this didn't change. Let's continue. Let's go to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And let me make sure that I didn't miss something in 24. Let me scan this real quick. Now, let's read 24. Since we're reading, let's go ahead and do 24 as well. So Exodus chapter 24. Because this is important, and these names are important. So Exodus chapter 24, starting in verse 1. And he said unto Moses, come unto Yah, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. Now, who do we got coming up? We got the prophet, Moses. We got Aaron, the high priest, and his two sons, Nadab and Abihu. And then 70 of the elders. And I told you that the elders were given the law at the same time that the priesthood was. The elders are enforcers of the law. That's not the priesthood's job. The elders of Israel enforced the law. The elders of Israel taught the people. The Most High said, hey, Moses, get you up here, bring Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders that's going to be enforcing the law and worship afar off. And Moses alone shall come near Yah, but they shall not come nigh. So Moses alone shall come near unto Yah, but they, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders, they shall not come nigh. They shall not come near. Neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of Yah and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yah has spoken, has said, we will do. Okay? So they're in agreement. They've heard these judgments so far. Moses repeats them to them. And they agree to do it. And Moses wrote all the words of Yah and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto Yah. So we got a lot of sacrificing going on. We got the altar that has been built, and the Most High is about to sanctify his people. They're about to enter into this covenant that they just agreed to. That they agreed back in chapter 19, but now they know all of the judgments. They know the Ten Commandments. They know the judgments that the Most High requires of them. And they say, we will do it. And so you got this sacrificing going on because they got to get enough blood to sanctify the altar. And also to sanctify the people. And Moses took half of the blood and put it into basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. So we got half of the blood of these animals that have been sacrificed in basins, and he's got half of it that he used on the altar to sanctify the altar. And he took the book of the covenant that he had wrote and read in the audience of the people. Now I'm going to read back to you what you agreed to. And they said, all that Yah has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. This is the blood covenant. I have sprinkled you, the book, the agreement, and the altar with blood and sealed this covenant. So verse 8 again. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which Yah has made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the Elohim of Israel. and there was under his feet, as it were, paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. So Nadab, Abihu, Moses, and Aaron, and the 70 elders, they saw the Most High Elohim. Brother Miles didn't say that. The scripture says it. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Who laid not his hand? Yah Elohim. Because to see him was you're supposed to die. Verse 11 again. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw Elohim and did eat and drink. So they are worshiping and celebrating. And Yah said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount. Be there. Now, you got the high priest. You got the high priest's two sons who are supposed to be in charge of the altar and the most holy place. You got the 70 elders. This is everybody in Israel that is somebody. He calls them the nobles of the children of Israel. They're the ones that's going to teach and enforce the law. They're the ones that's going to take care of the altar, the most holy place. They get to see Elohim so that they might have, their faith might be built up. He exists. We didn't just hear his voice. Now we've seen him. And he laid not his hand on them. He didn't break forth on them and kill them. So this is a great time. And Yah said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua. And as I've said before, Joshua, everywhere that Moses went, Joshua went. And Moses went up into the mount of Elohim. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here, or wait here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. Aaron being the high priest, and Hur being one of the elders. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of Yah abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of Yah was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So, you know, the children of Israel themselves didn't get to see the Most High, but the 70 elders and Aaron and his two oldest sons did. But the children of Israel, all they got to see was the cloud on top of the mountain and what? The fire that was coming out of this cloud that was melting the top of the mountain, burning the top of the mountain up. That's what they got to see. And Moses went in the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus chapter 25. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Now, this is the thing about offerings. If you don't want to give it, the Most High don't want it. He don't want it. He says, of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart, you shall take my offering. So you got to have a heart to give to the Most High. You got to have a heart to want to bless him. And he turns around and blesses you abundantly. But if you don't want to give it, he don't want it. That's why even in New Testament, he says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Grudgingly means you don't really want to give it. And if you've given it because you need something, you want something, he says, no, I don't want that either, because this is not from your heart. You're giving it only because you're trying to get something. But your offering should be what he calls a free will offering. Most, I just want to bless you. I just want to show my affection for you. I want to show how I feel about you and what you're doing. And so you have to sit down and think. He says, every man according as he purposes. That means that you have to sit down and think about what you're going to give. It's like you're in a relationship, and it's the person who your spouse's birthday or your child or whatever, and you don't put any thought into what you give them. You just run out and get something just to fulfill, to say you gave them something. And so, you know, the gift really, you know, the value, it doesn't really matter how expensive or inexpensive the gift is to most people. You got some people that try to, you know, how much you spend on this. But really, if you give somebody something that, oh, you know, that your child was into biology, and so you went and bought them a microscope, you put some thought into it. Or you know that they like to dance, so you bought them some ballet shoes or something like that. You put some thought into it. The gift was meaningful. This is what the Most High wants. Put some thought into, what do you want to do for me? And then purpose to do it. And so a lot of the times, you know, we are good with tithing, but then when it comes to making an offering to the Most High, that's something that we really need to sit down and think about. And purpose it, and then do it what? Willingly, with a willing heart. And he says, I will bless you. Let's keep reading. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. Wait a minute. No canned goods. Don't bring me some carrots. Gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices of anointing oil, and for a sweet incense. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to understand that this is not the tithe. This is an offering. Because see, sometimes I think people get those two mixed up. They're different. Now, why is this important? The Most High said, go and get an offering of from the people who will give it willingly, because all this stuff that they're bringing, verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. When the community wants a place to meet the Most High, it is the people that should build it. It is the people that should come together with the money to make it happen, to buy the land, to put up the building. Then they'll value it. This is of our free will offering to the Most High, that we would have a sanctuary where he would come and meet us and dwell with us. See, people think that the tithe is supposed to go toward that. It's not. People believe that the tithe, you know, that the man or the woman of the Most High is supposed to live off the tithe, keep the church up off the tithe, pay their rent off the tithe, get food off the tithe. No. It's like me, that would be like me telling you, whatever your paycheck is, this is what I need for you to do with it. That's your paycheck. I shouldn't be telling you anything what to do with your paycheck. You work for it. But the Most High says, a tenth of whatever you made is mine. It's holy unto me. It's sanctified. That's to go to my priesthood for their service to me. I give it to them. But then your offering, that's something completely different. So we got to understand the two. That let them make me a sanctuary. Bring me an offering to make me a sanctuary. Bring gold and silver and all these things necessary as an offering. The Most High didn't say, Levites, take the tithe and build me a sanctuary. I want us to catch this. Because the truth of the matter is, for whatever the reason, whether it is people have abused the system or didn't understand it, or I don't know, mistaught. But the truth of the matter is, you got to know what offerings are for. You got to know what the tithe is for. The Most High says the tithe is not yours. It's holy unto him. It's for him providing for you. And if you want to be provided for, well, he says, don't miss my tithe. Don't keep it to yourself. It is holy to me. Then you got your offering. That's something totally different. That your offering really should tell the Most High what your heart is toward him. So just so that you understand the difference in the two. So he's telling them, go get a free will offering from the people. Take it from those, only take it from those that are willing. If they don't want to give it, don't take it. And build me a sanctuary. Verse 9. According to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So the Most High gave Moses a vision on the mountain that 40 days. This is the tabernacle. This is how it's made. These are all the instruments within it. You're going to make them exactly like I have shown you. According to all that I show thee, according to the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. So, in verse 8, we have a law to build a sanctuary, that it should come from the offerings of the people. And see, when you have poured yourself into something, and your possessions have gone into it, trust me, you don't take it for granted like you would if you walk up on it. It's already built. You don't have any sweat equity in it. It has more value to it when you have put your own into it. So a lot of people that, you know, go from church to church, They don't really understand, unless you have built a church from scratch and you have, you know, you can't really go to a bank and get a loan for a church, especially if you're black. So that has to be all coming from the people. And a lot of times those organizations suffer because, well, number one, we're poor to begin with. You know, we don't have the same money as all other races, even though we, it's kind of funny, even though we are the 19th richest people in the world, we are considered to be the poor in this nation compared to the other people that are in this nation. And when you don't have the lending institutions behind you, then you go to build a church from scratch. It's not already pre-built. That might take some years. And I've been through that. But you appreciate it and you value it more because you have sweat equity in it. We have labored together to do this. And we are appreciative of it. And we don't want nobody coming here and tearing it up or disrespecting it or, you know, doing any kind of crazy stuff like that. So it is different than when you go to a building that's already built. You didn't have no sweat equity in it. You didn't have any participation in helping to get it raised. Y'all accept the keys and the congregation goes in. So the Most High said, go and ask the people to bring me an offering and only take it from those that are willing. Because these are the ones that want to meet me. These are the ones that want to praise me. These are the ones that want to have a place where the body can come together. You know, I hear brothers say, you know, hey, we just meet at houses. There comes a time when you become too large to meet at someone's house. And the weather don't always cooperate. So you can't have it at an outside venue all the time. And going from house to house, you get 10 or 15 or 20 people, that's going to fill up a house real quick. Now that they got a huge house. So the sanctuary, it's got to be where the Most High places his name. It's got to be where he says to build it. But we have also messed up in that in these last days because we got all these different sanctuaries everywhere, one on every corner, almost. And the Most High said, don't do that either. You know, so his people, the people of the Most High, we have to come together as one, and we shouldn't be having all these different sanctuaries, three and four of the same sanctuary, because you don't want to drive across town. So we'll put one over on that side of town to make it convenient to you, but the Most High didn't want it like that. He really doesn't. Anyway, let's move on. So he's telling Moses to build the tabernacle after the pattern that he has shown him. Verse 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Now, we're not going to be building any arks, unless the Most High says so, but I doubt if he ever says that. But the truth of the matter is it had to be built exactly as the Most High. He says, you shall build it after the pattern. He's telling them, you got to be exact. That's like when it comes to rebuilding the third temple, the measurements that are given. As I said, when we start studying that third temple, because we are supposed to know it, all of us, so that we do it exactly. When it comes time, that it's done exactly the way that the Most High says to do it, the dimensions and everything. the Elohim that we serve, he's a precise Elohim. He don't play getting close. That's why when we read prophecy, prophecy has to happen exactly the way that the Most High said that it's going to happen. And if it doesn't, if a person says they prophesy and it don't happen exactly the way that they said, Yah says, that's not a word that I spoke. Because if I tell them to say it, it's going to happen exactly how I said it's going to happen. That's how we know that the scriptures tell us that Israel was in Egypt to the day 430 years. 430 years to the day that they walked out. But then the Most High tells us that you are going to be in a slavery for 400 years. That didn't happen in Egypt. Matter of fact, when you study that thing out, our forefathers were probably in slavery in Egypt no more than 120 years. Between 64 and 120 years. But he says, no, you're going to go into slavery into a land that is not yours for 400 years and be in bondage. It has to happen exactly that way. Different lesson. Let's go down to, well, we're just going to continue to read because these verses in between that has the commandments, part of the covenant in it, I don't want to just read past them and cherry pick. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without, shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them in the four corners thereof, and two rings shall be in one side of it, and two rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne on them, or carried on them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. Now, the things that he's telling them that they must do these things, and these are commandments to them in concerning the tabernacle and the ark. So he says, the staff shall never be taken out of those rings in the ark. He's giving them the precise measurements. Got to be followed. Obey his voice to the letter. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half shall it be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. How wide? And thou shalt make 2 cherubims, angels of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub of 1 end and the other cherub of the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims of the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. So we know that these cherubims have to be facing each other. Their wings would be extended up and cover the mercy seat. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I will shall give thee. And there will I meet with thee, and will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all the things which I have given thee in the commandments unto the children of Israel. Now remember this, he told him to make this after the pattern of the one that's in heaven. So the Most High dwells between the cherubims on the mercy seat on his throne in heaven. He says, now when I come to the earth, I want to see the same pattern. And I'll meet you there and commune with you there. And with the children of Israel from there. And I'm going to come and inside of my throne, inside of this ark, is going to be the covenant, the contract. that you and I have agreed to in blood. Okay. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereunto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of a hand's breadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown in the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the corners, in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and the covers thereof, and the bowls thereof to cover withal. Of pure gold shalt thou make them. So the tables, shittim wood, overlaid in gold. The staves are shittim wood, overlaid in gold. All of the dishes and everything are what? Pure gold. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. Now the showbread was to be on this table, and it had to be replaced every day. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers shall be the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it. Their branches of the candlestick out of one side, or 3 branches of the candlestick out of one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other. 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch. 3 bowls made like almonds in another branch, with knobs and a flower. So is the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick. Now, I've seen people draw this out, these menorahs, they are very specific. And the Most High said these are made after the pattern of the ones that are in the heavens. And the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto the almonds, and their knobs and their flowers. And there shall be a knob under the 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the branch of the same, and a knob under the 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knobs and their branches shall be the same. All of it shall be 1 beaten work of pure gold. So he's saying, hey, this candlestick, this is how it's going to look. And it's got to be solid gold. 1 beaten work of pure gold. That means solid. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, and they shall give light over against it. And the tongues thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. Now whatever a talent of gold is, it has to be a lot to make this candlestick of pure gold. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee on the mount. So the Most High says, go get an offering from the people. Only take it from those that are willing. Gold, silver, brass, fine linen, all this stuff to make the tabernacle. And then you're going to make the candlesticks and all these things. You're going to make the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to overlay it with gold. Everything in this room was gold. Everything in the that is in reference to the Most High, the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, the staffs, the tables, the dishes, the candlesticks, gold. So could you picture that in your mind? You walk into a room, if you were ever, you would never be able to walk into this room, but if you could see the Holy of Holies, the throne of the Most High with the angels, with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat with the angels on the Ark of the Covenant with their wings stretched forward, up, covering the ark. And it's all gold. And the Most High says, this is where I'm going to meet you at. I'm going to meet you between these two cherubims. But everything in this room, the tables, the Ark of the Covenant, the angels, everything in this room is gold. Some of it solid gold, some of it wood with gold overlay. But everything is gold, golden. So that tells us everything in heaven, in the Holy of Holies in heaven is what? Gold. And more than likely, in the heaven of heavens is solid gold, everything. The Most High's throne, solid gold. Because he's telling him to make it after the pattern that's in heaven. So it's the it looks like this and it's made out of solid gold. Now if he told us to do that now, we'd be having to try to find a way to rob Fort Knox. Most High, you gotta provide a way. Because your people ain't got that kind of gold right now. And if he wanted it, he would make a way. He made a way for them coming out of Egypt, that they what? Spoiled the Egyptians. Oh yeah, we need all your gold necklaces and your gold bracelets and your silver. And the people were happy to give it to them just to get them out of there. All your fine linen, we need to borrow that. But the Most High said that he would spoil the Egyptians. He would have Israel to spoil them on their way out, so they wouldn't leave out a poor nation. They wouldn't leave out of there a poor nation. Okay. Let us stop here for this morning. And let us go before the Most High. Father, yeah, we come before you right now, Father. We're thanking you for your word. We're thanking you that you allow us to see that it is you that commands and that you have given your judgments to your people and that you gave your commandments to your people. And they entered into covenant relationship with you. And he said, all that Yah has said, all that you have said, Father, they would do and be obedient. And we know from a historical purpose, Father, that our forefathers were not obedient to your word. They were not obedient to you. Father, let your words sink into the heart of each and every person. Give us the desire to bring you offerings that we might, in your feast days, when you tell us don't appear before you empty, that we obey your word. That we keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. That we obey your voice. Father, some of the things that you say, some of the requirements that you have made, Father, we need to eat them. And we need to make them part of ourselves. Help us in whatever area we are weak in. Help us that we will be obedient to you. You have said that you are our length of days. You are our health. You are our strength. Father, the work that you have for us to do in these last days, We know that you shall go before us, and we will not fear. Give all such as would do it, Father, a willing heart to fulfill your word, to obey you indeed. Father, whatever they are lacking for, you know what it is. Provide it to each and every person. Even now, Father, I ask in your name. You know the work that you have assigned, Father. Equip us for it, that we might do it, and do it with a willing heart, a willing mind. Rebuke the enemy. Rebuke any demons of naysayers. Rebuke any demons that bring doubt. Rebuke any demons that bring division. Rebuke anything that is unlike you and that would hinder the work. Rebuke them even now, Father. But let your will be done. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, on this evening, we will continue some of the things that we're going to cover, because, see, they've already got the covenant. And so all of this that we've covered, they have already been sealed in it. And then we're going to look what, in addition, was added. So the Most High says, this is enough to seal this deal. But I'm still going to give you more. And so we have to see what else was added to it. A lot of this is going to have to deal with the temple and the priesthood. And we need to know that as well, because I know we want to think of ourselves as ordinary. I just want to be an ordinary saint. No such thing. I shall make of you a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. You got to know what it means to be holy. You got to know what the requirement is on the priesthood. Got to know it. Got to know that if you could remarry or not, and who you could marry. We got to see how far out of whack we have been. So we're going to come to him according to what? Knowledge. And we don't be doing things because it just seems right, you know, in our own eyes to do it, when the Most High has specifically said yea or nay to it. We want to find those things out. So we will be picking this up this evening. Tomorrow for spiritual wellness, I had a topic that I wanted to bring. I need to find out where I put it at. I need to actually work on it tonight. I thought of it this week and then didn't get a chance to actually work on it. But I do want to bring it up as discussion, emotional support. You know, we go through some things. We are the children of the Most High. We are in the land of our captivity. And the word I'm looking for here, confronted with a lot of different things. We deal with a lot of different things. But we want to see what thus saith the Most High Elohim concerning those things. And if we need prayer in these areas, we want to be prayed for. That we be lifted up, that we be strengthened. We are definitely trying to move toward being the elect of the Most High and walking in his ways, because things are not going to get easier. They're not going to get better. They're only going to get worse. And we have to be prepared. We have to be of that mindset as to who we are. That being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but I can't love you any way close to how the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Go and eat, rest, do whatever you're going to do on the Shabbat in the Most High, but keep his Shabbat and keep it holy. Peace and blessings.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away.